right, we're going to jump right in because I am so excited. I have been so excited about this teaching. This week, I usually start looking over my teaching on like about Monday. I write them way back. Like this is like my go season when we're in session. But now come summer, it's going to be my work session because I'm going to be working for next session. So it's so neat to go back and look at some of these teachings that the Lord gives me and how he purposefully plans each teaching. So I'm so excited about this teaching. And y'all, today I woke up and I just felt so blah, just blah. I will have faith for you. I will pray down heaven and believe for you. But I'm just going to admit for myself, it's hard sometimes. And I just woke up and I just was like, I text my husband. I said, you got to pray for me. And so I just felt like the Lord just said, just worship. I was like in the word trying to, you know, when we feel that way, we go to the do's. Like, let me just do. Okay, let me read the Bible. Let me read my devotion. And it was like the Lord just stopped me and said, just worship me. And so I got in the shower and Bethel worship, I've told y'all, there's no better way to get my fire lit than I listened to some Stephanie Gretzinger and Bethel worship and she just was singing Reckless Love, and I was in the shower and it was just like the atmosphere of my heart just shifted. And I just started singing this lyric over myself. So sometimes you just got to have it for yourself. We give out to our babies all the time. We give out to our husbands all the time. Y'all, sometimes, a lot of times, first, we got to sing it and preach it to ourselves. So I just started saying these words of this song, and I stopped Sonny when he came in today. I said, y'all better be glad I don't play a guitar, because we would never get to any kind of teaching. We would just worship the whole time at Moms with Swords. And there are going to be some Thursdays that we're just going to surprise us and we're just going to worship, because I just think it just sets the atmosphere. And as it did for me this morning, I just sang these lyrics over myself. I said, I am who he says I am. He is who he says he is. I'm defined by all his promises, shaped by every word he says. I am no victim. I'm covered by the force of love, and I'm covered in my Savior's love. And the atmosphere of my heart changed. So I am now excited and ready for this morning. So would you stand? We've already prayed back there. Y'all, who can swim? Everybody swim in here? Because I'm believing that the river is just going to flow, and all of us are just going to jump right on in. Man, God, we just believe, Lord, right now, Father, I just picture, Father, the river flowing as it's been prophetically prayed over this space and this time, that the river of God would flow off of this stage. God, would you just flow? Would your river flow? God, would you, God, pour forth out of my mouth, God, your words, your purposes, your rhema word, would it just flow? God, would it flow? And God, would it not just splash? God, but would it just cover like the anointing that covered Aaron's beard? That anointing oil, it literally broke from the top of his head. And it says in scripture, it was like a river that just flowed all the way through his feet. God, would your anointing power, God, would the presence and power of God flow from this stage, God, and brush and overtake and overwhelm each one of these mamas, God. I want to swim, Lord. I want to swim. I don't have my bathing suit on, God, but I'm ready to jump in, God, because we come alive in the river. We come alive in the river. So river of God, flow in this place and flow over these mamas, God. Overwhelm everything that's overwhelming them, God. Remove distractions that they may receive. God, I believe, I prophesy to the soil of every heart listening, God, that it would be fertile, good soil, and the word of God would take root and bear much fruit. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen. I'm ready to preach now. Woo! All right. It doesn't take much. Oh, plus I had it out with my 16-year-old last night. She came in. That's always fun. All right, Eagles, we finished up on vision. Today we're going to learn about, I had to mesh two of their characteristics into one teaching because I feel like they both fit. And I love, I'm so excited about talking about these two characteristics of the eagle. My friend Ann sent me, do y'all ever watch the Barry Cam, the Eagles at Barry College? Like, it's so fat. They're just such beautiful, just beautiful creatures. And I was watching it. We were in the Chick-fil-A drive-thru, and I just was watching this beautiful mother eagle, you know, protect her eaglets. It was just so amazing. So today we're going to learn about eagles and how they train their young and how they are creatures of habit. We're going to really camp out at the training, but this creature of habit ties so beautifully in with that training. It is said that it usually takes between 1 to 3 months for an eagle to build its nest. 1 to 3 months. And that nest can weigh 3 tons. Juju has a boat. You know, my sister, she's Juju. She's Juju to a lot of your kids, too. She's not Julie. She's Juju. Juju and David have a boat. And I don't know if you've ever been on Altoona. There's like a bridge at Lake Altoona, and there was a majestic eagle's nest. So now it's so cool that, like, now when I'm going to go, because that nest is still there, because we're going to get to that in a minute, but that nest, it probably did weigh about 3 tons, because it took up this whole part of this top of the bridge. It's just majestic. And now this is where they're creatures of habit. They will return to that same nest year after year. They will just replace what they need to replace, but they will go back to that same nest. And listen, if it takes that long, they better go back to that nest. They're just going to go back year after year after year. Now, one day, though, the mother, after she has her babies, this mama will come back to this nest that she has had her young in, and it's taken her so long, and it's heavy and a beautiful, majestic nest. She will come back to this nest with those baby eaglets awaiting the food from her beak. But you see, Mommy Eagle will have no food in her beak. What Mommy Eagle will do at about roughly 9 to 10 weeks of age is she will hover with her mighty wings out of the nest, in front of the nest. She'll just hover. And don't you know, the baby eaglets are going, "Where's my food? Where's my food?" Because that's all they're thinking about. What's in it for us? And like any of your kids, what do I get? What do I get? And what she will do is she will then take her beak and she will push one of them out of the nest. And she will do that over and over and over again, because you see, what Mommy Eagle is doing is she is training them to fly by demonstrating how to fly. That will preach all on its own. She will train them how to fly while demonstrating how she does it. At about 9 to 10 weeks of age, she will demonstrate what it looks like to fly. Moms, how well are you demonstrating to your children what it looks like to live out Isaiah 40:31? But those who trust in the Eternal One will regain their strength. They will soar on wings as eagles. They will run, never winded, never weary. They will walk, never tired and never faint. How well are you demonstrating to your young what it looks like to fly? I think God gives each of us something that breaks our heart. For some of you, it's adoption. For some of you, it's widows. For some of you, it's foster. For some of you, it's the orphans in Africa. For some of you, it's your high school. For me, can I tell you what breaks my heart? Babies that don't know how to fly. My daughter shows me pictures of friends or acquaintances on social media, and it breaks my heart. Daughters that don't know their worth. Sons that don't know what it means to live with integrity. Lost potential. They don't know that God created them to fly. Y'all, it is said that if this mighty animal, this mighty bird, the eagle, was not taught to fly, it would grovel around like a chicken. Y'all, our daughters and sons were meant to fly. God has purposed and planned something amazing for them, and you and I get to participate in it, and you and I must jump in, and we must hover and train them and show them what it looks like to fly. Do you think it's possible? Do you think it's possible? Or are you of the camp of so many moms that stand back and say, oh, they're just gonna do it. They're just gonna rebel. They're gonna drink. They're gonna have sex before they get married. They're going to, Joy. You are crazy. Let me tell you something. I believe it's possible. I believe it's possible. Barbara Bush says, where will our country find leaders with integrity, courage, strength, all the family values in 10, 20, or 30 years? The answer is that you and you and you are teaching them and raising them right now. God told me to tell you this morning, it is possible that your kids can leave your nest and they will not grovel like chickens, that they will trust in the Lord, therefore they will soar. They will soar. Parenting is not just child care. We can have a vision for formative instruction that will transform our homes and communities. Mom, do you believe it's possible? Deuteronomy 32:11 said, just as an eagle stirs up its nest, encouraging its young to fly, and then hovers over them in case they need help, and spreads its wings and catches them if they fall, and carves them up high on its wings, so does the Lord God of Jacob do for you. It is possible. In the dailiness of mothering, y'all, in the groundhog day of mothering, they are creatures of habit, and you and I, it is the same thing every day. We're correcting the same behavior. We're looking at the same sin spots all the time. Anybody else, or is it just me? John Williams do everything without arguing, complaining, y'all. He prays that over himself every night. Yet he just lost 30 minutes of Fortnite for complaining. But we pray it every night. And guess what? I believe at some point it's going to bear fruit. God gave me this word this week, and this is not even in my sermon, so I guess why I had to be quick. God told me these two words. He said, Joy, you live among an accepting society. And I believe you and I, moms, are a big part of that. The doctor says, this is what's wrong. And we say, oh, okay. This door closes and we say, oh, okay. That window opened and we says, okay, it must be him. I am wanting to encourage us today to have an audacious belief that God can do immeasurably more than we ask, think, or imagine. Can we stop just accepting what people tell us as truth and ask God if that's his truth? My kid has strep throat. Okay, but there's something in my gut that says, no, he doesn't. And let me tell you something. I looked at my doctor and I said, okay, I believe God's gonna heal him. He hasn't had strep throat in 3 years. Now, y'all, I'm not telling you God will all the time. I'm not telling you he will, but I want to stir up in you something that says, my God could. And not just accept it. Not just say, oh, okay. Could it be that God wants to move a mountain that you just want to go up? Don't be so accepting. Have an audacious belief and don't allow the unbelief of somebody around you to take away your belief. And audacious, do you know what that word means? Intrepidly daring. Recklessly bold. Y'all, I'm asking God at 46 years old, this is my prayer. I am audacious in what I ask for in my kids, and for my husband. I am audacious. Yes, I believe, God. I believe they will be repentful. I believe they will be righteous, and I believe they will be recklessly abandoned to you and your will. And I've got many people around me that say, okay. And you know what I'm learning to do? Shake it off. And stay true to what God's told me. So that's what I'm telling you. If God's told you, you pray through. If God's told you, I'm going to use this, and it's going to stink for a little while, you just endure. I'm going to give you some staying power. Then you stay in it. But what I want to just burn in your heart today, don't just accept it as truth. Accept one truth, and that is God's truth. A great story to illustrate this. I had breakfast with a dear friend. She's going to be listening by podcast. She's actually a leader in this ministry. I had breakfast with her. She's divorced. The husband has a girlfriend, and she looked at me and she said, Joy, I believe God wants me to believe that he's going to resurrect this marriage. And she said, but all my church friends are telling me that it's ridiculous. Oh, something bowed up in me. And I looked her straight in the eyes and I said, I believe for you. You don't let go of that hope until God tells you to let go of it. God's given you a word. Do not let other sweet, well-meaning Christian folk take that word out of your heart. You believe it. And I want you to get tenacious and audacious in believing for your kids. Don't you just take what the world says as fact. An old Ron Canole song I used to sing back in the 80s. Whose report shall we believe? We shall believe the report of the Lord. That's the report we always believe. And again, it's not that God will. Yes, I've buried two parents and I wanted them to not die. But God allowed them to go on to heaven to really live. But my faith is not settling for just, I guess it's okay. I guess it's what you want. My faith is saying, as Beth Moore used to say when I traveled with her, you pray until God says no. So mom, you go to the doctor today with your kid, and that doctor tells you something is wrong with that baby. You say, okay, I'll take it to the real doctor. And God, I'll believe until you tell me otherwise. Audacious faith, y'all. Woo! Get into the Word of God and get the Word of God in you. It is our task to faithfully teach our children the ways of God. It's our task. It is the Holy Spirit's task to work through the Word of God to change their hearts. Groundhog Day, every day you are doing this in your home and you are trusting audaciously that the Word of God is going to change their hearts. It's up to us. It's our job, as it is the mama eagles, to train our children how to fly. Anybody want their children to fly on the purposes that God has for their life. But first, you gotta settle the issue as if you believe that your God can let them fly. Don't let the culture dull down what God is capable of doing. I don't care what you see in your kid right now. I do not care what you see. Faith is the evidence of things not seen. You believe it, Mom, even if you can't see it. But you get to training. Train. We hear that scripture in Proverbs 22:6, train up a child in the way he should go, and in keeping, I love that, with his individual gift or bent. You can't train them all the same way, y'all. They all got a different way. You got to train them. And when he's old, listen, this is the promise. When he is old, he won't depart from it. I don't care what you see now. Believe that promise. They won't depart from it. Train in the secular dictionary means to teach a particular skill or type of behavior. Look, this is the creature of habit, through sustained practice and instruction. Every day. Every day it's what we're doing. Some of its synonyms are order or procession. We've talked about this plan, right? We've talked about God's plan and that we've got to have some kind of, we've got to ask him what the plan is, and we've got to participate in this plan. We got to kind of study our children to know they're bent so that we can help train them. And I often compare parenting to gardening. This training process, much like the mother eagle, just hovers and teaches until they learn to fly. That's what you and I are doing. It's like gardening. It takes time to see a production of harvest of crops. I told y'all a couple weeks ago, I was studying for Moms with Swords, and I hear beep, 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 beep. And that landscape plan that my husband had drawn up, Pikes was coming to deliver a load of plants. And him and John William got out there, y'all. It's actually hilarious because we have this big hill in our backyard, and there, in one side of our hill, there's four little plants now that him and John William planted. Took them 4 hours, bless their hearts, but they bonded. But y'all, that was like 3 weeks ago, and there's already some buds on the one of the bushes. That's what it's like in parenting. You keep planting. Todd's had, praise the Lord, well, has not had to worry about watering it because we've had plenty of water. But you got to get out there and water, and you got to get out there and weed, and you got to get out there and till up. And finally, you'll see a production of what you planted. Same with your children. You don't plant a cucumber tree and expect to get apples. You plant into their heart expecting to get what you plant. And you plant the word of God, y'all, there is always a return on what you're planting. I get texts all the time, even this week. Sweet Alex put it on Facebook. Joy, look at this blueberry. That's what I like to call it. And I like to call it a blueberry, y'all, because do you know blueberries take the longest time to get a big thing of blueberries? It takes forever. And that's how it is in our parenting, y'all. Sometimes it takes forever to see any kind of evidence that it's working. And this mama put on her Facebook, her little baby was praying in her preschool. And I said, that is a blueberry. God will give you those little snapshots of the fruit of your labor. Be ready to receive those little blueberries. Be ready to see them. And now listen, it's quite possible. And like we've been saying, I know some parents here, they have cultivated, they've weeded, they've tended and nourished the hearts of their kids, and they're seeing no fruit. Some of you might have even come in here today discouraged because I'm coming to Moms with Swords. Dang it, why are my kids not changed? I'm doing what James says. I'm being a doer, not just a hearer of the word. But God, why am I seeing so little results? Moms, just like that mother eagle, you keep returning. You keep going back to the word. You keep tending. You keep weeding. You keep planting. And one of my most favorite verses, if you're around moms with swords very long, you're going to hear this verse, Isaiah 55:11. It is what I stand on. It is the same with my word. I send it out in the form of you, mom. His word goes out of your mouth. And look, it always produces fruit. It will accomplish all I want it to, and it will prosper everywhere I send it. God is saying, believe it, even if you don't see it. Keep tending, keep training, and keep planting the word into their hearts. I was in Psalm 1 today, and the Lord said, just send that to your girls. Just send it. Even on a text, y'all, that is the word of God, living and active. And even just their eyes looking at that text, I believe it's doing something. Now, this idea of training, I want us to look at it through the lens of developing our children and how Jesus trained his 12 disciples. One theologian said that these men would serve as the core of the future church. These were and would be his companions who would come alongside him and help promote the kingdom that was yet to come. Yet think of the 12 that he picked. And now, y'all, let me tell you the timeline of this. Jesus had just been baptized. It says the Holy Spirit sent him into the wilderness to be tempted. He resisted the enemy by quoting the word of God back. Fasted for 40 days and 40 nights. And here he goes and picks 12 of the most uncommon, unlikely, unworthy men. I always tell people, if you want something really spiritual from me, catch me on a Thursday. Because a lot of times I come in fasting. I'm really in the Word of God. So I feel like I'm full of the Holy Spirit. Because come Thursday about 4, it's gone. I've screamed, I've sinned, I've, you know. So this was Jesus. He was anointed. He was, if you're going to pick anybody, this is the time. And he picks tax collectors, a zealot, fishermen. No doubt that he didn't pick men that had it all together because he knew his children would not have it all together. So we could relate. And yet Jesus would still look at us and say, I picked you to be on my team. I picked you to promote my kingdom through the hearts of your children. He picked them because he knew he would have to train them. And this is what Christ has commissioned you and I to do. To develop these children in our home to advance and promote his kingdom. Unfortunately, just like these 12 men, these babies do not come out of the womb serving and loving Jesus, ready to obey or sleep all night. They are sweet and precious, but they have one agenda, and that is do for me. They cry, pick them up. They cry, put a bottle in their mouth. Because it's all about them, right? It's all about their needs. That's how they come into this world. Psalm 51:5, if you don't believe me, argue with Jesus. For I was guilty from the day I was born. Look, a sinner. Little Myers is not a sinner, but Jesus says he is. From the time my mother became pregnant with me. That is why you and I have to introduce them to their rescuer. Because we're born into sin. We are born saying, what's in it for me? So we have to train them. We have to train them. Now, how did he train these 12? I believe very intentionally, very strategically, as you and I must decide to do as well. I've pulled out 5 ways that I believe he developed and trained them. One would be he spent time with them, and you know we talked about this a lot last week. Number 2, he taught them. Number 3, he served them. Number 4, he empowered them. And number 5, and the end goal was he constantly pointed them to the Father. So we're going to talk about each of these 5, this first one being spent time with them. One quote says, I refuse to wish away time because I know just how fast it can fly. We're not going to sit on this too much because we really talked about it last week. If you weren't here, catch the podcast. It is said that Jesus had 3 years with his disciples, y'all. He knew the time was short. 3 years. 3 short years, and we know that we get 18 with ours for the most part. Statistics tell us that by the age of 9, a parent's voice is no longer the biggest influence in their child's life. 9. I'm already past that. My voice is not the biggest influence in my home right now. Most of the shaping and the planting and the tending to the children, it needs to be done early. John 3:22 says, I believe that's why Jesus knew it was so imperative that he trained them, he spent time with them. John 3:22 says, then Jesus and his disciples came into the land of Judea, and there he was spending time with them and baptizing them. Now this time, we looked at another usage of time last week. This time here in this scripture in John is the Greek word diatribo. And look at, I just love the treasure that awaits us as we dig into God's word. The treasure that awaits us. Diatribo, this, remember, Jesus spent time with them. This means to rub between, to wear away, to consume. Its word origin is dia, through, throughout, always. Groundhog Day. Constantly, continually. And the base of this word is tribos, a wrong away path to rub. So what I believe that is telling us is that Jesus was always, continually spending time with them so that what was in Jesus could rub off on to them. It would wear away what needed to be worn away. And that's what I believe God is so, that's why I believe it's so imperative for us to spend time with our children so what's in us can rub off on them. We talked about it. I want to be the greatest influence in my kids' life right now, which is why it's a holy mandate on my life that I got to stay in John 15:5 connected. Because I want my voice to be the loudest. It's your influence that will wear away the world's voice. You gotta be with them so what's in you can rub off on them. And eagle's vision, as we talked about last week, gives them the ability to perceive how they'll feed themselves. And your ability to see the things in your kids is directly correlated to the time you're spending with them. Secondly, Jesus taught them. The mother eagle, remember, she hovers over the nest because she's demonstrating what it looks like to fly. Jesus was their teacher in all things. He didn't go to Simon and Andrew in Matthew 4 and say, hey, follow me. and I'm going to make you a better fisherman. No. He said, follow me. Follow me, and I'll show you how to fish for people. Moms, you are your children's greatest Sunday school teacher. You are your child's most qualified professor. You get to, not have to, you get to teach your children about the ways of the Lord. Every day, you get to say to your kids, as Paul said to the church in Corinth, follow me, follow my example as I follow Christ. Moms, but you must first imitate before you are imitated. You must first imitate your father before your children can imitate you. You must first be trained in the ways of the Lord before you can train your children in the ways of the Lord. Remember last week's question? Watch carefully how you walk, not as unwise, but as wise. Mom, how are you walking? Because let me tell you something. Your children's footsteps are following in your footsteps. And while their sin is their sin, it looks a heck of a lot like your sin. You gotta be an imitator of Christ so that your children can know. Listen. You get to teach them how to respond to rejection when they're not picked to be on the team they wanted to be on. You get to tell them. And how are you telling them to respond to that? Oh, well, I'll write an email and I will get you on that team if it's the last thing I do. You get to teach them the godly way to respond to anger in Ephesians 4:26. A gentle answer turns away wrath. How do you respond to anger, Mom? Because I guarantee you how you respond, they'll respond. You, Mom, get to teach your children how to respond to the trouble that comes in John 16:33. Don't you buy the lie that somebody else is better qualified to do your job. Every baby that you have in your home, God has purposed for you to direct their hearts to Him. Don't you listen to the whisper that says, oh, she would be so much better at this. Oh, yes, send them to the youth group because they do a better job. Yes, great supplements. You are their greatest teacher. I walked through a season about a year ago, probably the hardest season I have ever walked through, and I've buried two parents. It was that kind of season. Maybe some of you have found yourself in this season where I would find myself, I don't cry often. I'm not a big crier. The Lord is tenderizing my heart, But I would find myself in my shower just in a fetal position, just crying. And while I was walking through this time, you have to be so careful. You know, some of you have walked through divorce, and you have to be so careful not to splash onto your kids. You're hurt. You got to be. And so I was trying to be so careful. I had great accountability around me because I just didn't want to splash my hurt onto my kids and make them be hurt or make them think something that they shouldn't think. So it's such a fine line. But it just so happened that my oldest found herself walking through an almost identical path. And I remember one of my mentors said, Joy, God is teaching you how to walk through this so you can train her how to walk through it. You must be trained in order to train. You are their greatest teacher. Thirdly, Jesus served them. This is the one I really am not great at. I'm a great preacher in my home, as you could imagine. I will preach. I will pontificate. I will lecture, as my middle child says. I think it's preaching. She says it's lecturing. It's exasperating. I know. This is the one that Jesus is like, yeah, we're going to work on this one. Jesus served them. John 13:6. It's a story of Jesus washing his disciples' feet. He modeled being last. Man, y'all, in a world that says be first, push your way, get in the front of the line, be first. Jesus said, I'm going to do the lowliest of service to these 12 of mine. Because see, in a wealthy home in this time, to wash somebody's feet was only done by the slaves. So here Jesus is saying, I'm going to model the lowliest of tasks. I'm going to serve you even when I want to spank your butt. Moms, do your children see you serving them? And not just serving them, probably even greater, do they see you serving their daddy? Some of you are married to men that don't believe in Jesus. And listen, I grew up in a family like that. My mom was fire-filled, Jesus, crazy Fruit Loop. And as Beth Moore said in that little thing, as long as there's some fruit in my loop, who cares? And that was my mama. And my daddy did not believe. He believed he was good, but he didn't believe that he was worthy until he was 89, then he. So I know it's hard, but mom, the greatest thing you can do, I heard Troy, our youth pastor, or our pastor Craig, talking last night, the greatest thing he can do for his daughters is to love their mother well. The greatest thing you can do for your children is to love their daddy well. Do you serve them? Now listen, I know some of you are good at serving the people. You're good at bringing a meal to everybody in your neighborhood that has a baby. That's your gift. You're good at serving the people in Africa. You are good at that. And that is so important. But God wants you to serve those little ones right at your feet. I can remember one of the greatest ways my mama ever served me, and this sounds crazy, but it's just something that it's a precious memory, and it's just the beauty of how much my mom loved to be my mom. French toast every morning. Some of you have that little toaster oven, you know, you could put the toast in the toaster oven. And I'd come down after getting ready for school, and I'd smell that French toast. It was ready for me every morning. She was the last person I saw when I got on the bus, and she was the first person I saw when I got home. She served me because she loved being my mom. And it wasn't in just her actions, it was in her attitude. And I think this, we could do a whole teaching on attitude. Do you serve your babies out of exasperation? And listen, we're all going to have to say yes. Sometimes I'm so exasperated. Y'all, John William leaves for his first ever retreat, like overnight for 2 nights. And y'all, I love him, but I'm a little excited because I get a break from the mouth of the South. So listen, I get it. You got some, and some of y'all, I know you're holy because you're at Moms with Swords, but some of you got those kids that you are so excited when 8 o'clock happens and you're like, oh, they're going to bed. Amen, sister. Just the attitude. Remember the story I told you about John William? And I did it again this week. He catches me. Mom, why are you so mad at me? Because my attitude is not serving. Jesus was the model. Do we serve our families from a place of love? Listen, it's not always our privilege, but it can always be our pleasure. It can always be our pleasure. Okay, my favorite one, because this is my personality. He empowered them. The mommy eagle was created to teach her child, her eaglets, to fly. That was her purpose. And mom, I believe this is one of the greatest ways you can train your children, in that you empower them. To empower someone means to give someone authority or power to do something, making someone stronger and more confident. Look at how Jesus did with his disciples. He said in John 14:12, I tell you the truth. Anyone who believes in me will do the same works I have done. Isn't that crazy? But they will do even greater things, because I will return to be with the Father. Mom, he's after more glory for himself. He's after a promotion of his kingdom agenda. And he needs you, and he needs to use your kids to go get it. But they must first know who backs them. They must first know the power that is housed in those little tiny bodies of theirs. John William woke up one night and one morning, he told me about this dream he had. He said, Mom, the devil was in my room, and he was putting shadows on my wall. And he said, and I just looked at him and I said, I'm not scared of you. That's what I'm talking about, y'all. Again, don't you cower. Don't you cower. Don't you cower. Greater is he that is in you than he that is in the world. That's the truth. Do you know your bloodline? Once you have accepted Jesus as your Savior, you have the bloodline. It's a badge. I like to tell my kids, you got a badge, and I'm going to teach you how to use it. You flash that badge. I talk to my kids all the time about Ephesians 6, the armor of God, telling them we don't have to be afraid. Matthew 10:1, Jesus called his 12 disciples together and gave them, y'all, imparted to them authority to cast out demons and to heal every sickness and disease. We must empower our children to know the power a believer in Jesus possesses. I want my kids to have the courage of David. Remember David and Goliath? I love that story. I did a big teaching on it. I'm going to have to bring it back out, because David goes to see this, over 9-foot giant with these swords that were, when you do the research, it's incredible, like the armor and the swords that this giant had. And little runty David doesn't cower. He just goes up to him with his little slingshot. Saul offered to give him a sword, but he said it doesn't fit right. So he took back what he knew. He fought with what he knew, which is why the more word that's in you, you'll know it and you'll want to use it to fight, because you know how to fight. Just like this morning, I knew how to fight. I knew what weapon to pull out, and it was worship. And David looks at him and says, hey, you come to me with a sword and a shield, but I come to you in the name of the Lord who will defeat you today. That is what walks into school. That's why I love public school so much. That's what walks into those public schools when your children walk in. You've heard me, and I say it all the time. When Sydney first went to middle school, it literally was like I pictured the lion's den. But God quickly said, oh, no, 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 no. When she walks in that school, every demon in hell says, not Sydney Chambly. That's who walks in with your kid on that soccer team. That's who walks in with you, Mom. I want to show you in an illustration that Priscilla Schreier used in the Passion Conference. If you have ever had your kids listen to a podcast, some of you are like probably like, what in the heck? I made all of my kids, including Sydney's boyfriend, they all had to listen to this podcast. It was Priscilla Schreier at Passion this past January. Just put it on YouTube, Priscilla Schreier, Passion 2018. She used this illustration, and I told Ann, I got to use it, but I got to get the video. She didn't have the video. So we're going to show you just to, as a representation of the power that backs us and our kids. That's what I'm talking about, y'all. Your God is roaring over your kids. Your God is roaring over your kids. There's a song we sing, our God is a lion, the Lion of Judah. He's roaring in power and fighting our battles. That's what walks into school with your kids. Are you training them to know that? Are you training them to know that? Do you know that? Every situation you face, you've got a God that is roaring over you. Finally, and I think the most important, I might love number four the best, but number five, I believe, is the most important. We've got to train our kids that they always look to their father. John 5:19 says, I tell you the truth, the son can do nothing by himself. He does only what he sees his father doing. Whatever the father does, the son does. John 12:49, for I did not speak on my own, but the father who sent me commanded me to say all that I have spoken. John 14:31, but I will do what the Father requires of me so that the world will know that I love the Father. Moms, are you pointing your arrows? Are you training your arrows towards the Father? Towards the Father. Listen to this account of Jesus and his disciples. After the incident with the rich young ruler in Matthew 19, I'm going to start in verse 23 and read it through verse 30. We don't have it. Did I not write it? Oh, gosh. Well, I don't even have my Bible. Well, let me get the Adventure Bible. Thank you, Lord, for Bible. Matthew 19. Maybe because I wasn't going to do this. This is the thing with the rich young ruler. Matthew 19, verse 23. Then Jesus said to his disciples, truly I tell you, it is hard for someone who is rich to enter the kingdom of heaven. Again, I tell you, it's easier for a camel to go through the eye of a needle than for someone who is rich to enter the kingdom of God. When the disciples heard this, they were greatly astonished and asked, well, who then can be saved? Jesus looked at them and said, with man, it is impossible, but with God, all things are possible. Peter answered, we have left everything to follow you. I so relate to Peter. What then will be there for us? Isn't that our kids? What's in it for me? And look at Jesus' response. Jesus said to them, so he kind of ignored that Peter was the, he just said to all of them, truly I tell you, at the renewal of all things, when the Son of Man sits on his glorious throne, you who have followed me will also sit on 12 thrones, judging the 12 tribes of Israel. And everyone who has left houses or brothers or sisters or father or mother or wife or children or fields for my sake will receive 100 times as much and will inherit eternal life. Peter says, hey, we've given up everything. What's in it for us? And Jesus says, eternity. Moms, your child's future job, your child's college choice, your child's marriage is not the goal of the training that you're doing in your home. The goal of the training you're doing in your home is that your children will inherit eternal life. That they will gain heaven. Is it worth it? Does that make the Groundhog Day worth it? That there's no separation? Which is why we can grieve. Some of you have lost babies in here. That's why you're able to grieve with hope, because you know there's no separation, that one day you'll be with those babies. That's the goal, heaven. All three of my children have professed a knowledge of Jesus as their Lord and Savior. So is my job done? Kinda. The goal, now there's a lot of life they gotta live and a lot of training I gotta do, but really my goal, praise God, I can say, yes, Lord, they gained you. Moms, are you training your children with that end goal as your thing? I want my kids to know Jesus. If you want your children to have a reason to sing on Sunday, give them a glorious God. If you want your children to have a reason not to sin on Monday, give them a glorious God. It is said that Mother Eagle will pick apart her nest in order to make her eaglets fly, because there are some in the nest that will refuse. They will refuse to fly. And there are even some that after attempt and attempt will give up and will crash to the rocks below and die. And the mother eaglet knows and will allow it to happen. Because she knows the risk, the ability of them not flying is worse than death. Mom, so much is at stake for your babies to not know how to fly. If they gain the whole world, if they gain the scholarships, if they gain the best teams, if they gain the best husband or wife, but they lose their soul, it means nothing. Sometimes you're going to have those in your home that are resistant to fly. Will you be more tenacious than them? Will you at all cost, over and over, train them to love and serve Jesus? John 6, 66 through 70. Is an account that I want to end with. We do have that, right, Ann? Oh, sorry, golly, that was my fault. I didn't send it to you. I want to end with this account in John 6, because this is what I believe our children will say. John 6, verse 66. From this time, many of his disciples turned back and no longer followed him. You don't want to leave too, do you? Jesus asked the 12. Simon Peter answered, Lord, to whom shall we go? You have the words of eternal life. We have come to believe and to know that you are the Holy One. May that be our children's insatiable thirst. Where else would we go? For Mom, you have dazzled me with a God that is worth more than all the world dazzles before me. Let's pray. Jesus, God, I trust you, Lord. I trust you with this word, your word. Man, I trust you that it is, you have raised our faith, God. You have raised our zeal, our passion, our determination, our tenaciousness, God, for our children, for us to train them, God, to develop them, and to show them what it looks like to fly. God, I believe audaciously, God, that every child represented in this room will come to an eternal knowledge of Jesus as their Lord and Savior. I claim boldly, God, every life represented in this room. Every life. Mom, I want you by faith right now to speak, and I want everybody to do it out loud. I want you to say every one of your baby's names out loud right now. God, we call forth Sydney, Sophie Kay, John William. We are calling forth, God, believing that they will have an acknowledgement of Jesus. We boldly believe it, God. We audaciously believe that they will know Jesus. And devil, we tell you that we're going to believe it even when we don't see it. God, ignite a fire in us, God, to pray like we've never prayed, to devour the word of God like we've never devoured it. God, ignite in us a willingness to be trained by you so we can then therefore train our children. And God, may we fly, may they see us flying so that they too, God, will fly on the purposes of God for their generation. We boldly believe this to be true and done. God, I believe, but help my unbelief. In Jesus' name, amen.